Right. For the last several weeks, we've been looking at a principle that I believe if you ever grasp this principle is a life-changing principle. So many of us are controlled in life because we simply are trying to control the thoughts of other people. We're trying to control the perception of other people. We're trying to control what they say about us, how they feel about us, what their thoughts are about us. And at the end of the day, we have no control over anybody except us. But yet we're control freaks, let's just be honest. We want to change the narrative if we can. So we engage, we try to convince, we water ourselves down to change their perception of us. Instead of grasping these two simple words that will change your life, let them. Let them. Let them doubt. Let them criticize. Let them misunderstand. Let them walk away. Because at the end of the day, we are responsible for ourselves. You can't control other people's opinions. You can't control their reactions. You can't control their decisions. We simply have to let them figure it out on their own. For those of you who don't know, I put on events for a living. I say that because we have so many new people every week. I know I repeat that a lot. I put on festivals and I put on summer concerts. And this weekend, I was in Calhoun putting on a big festival there. And this festival is a little bit different. It starts on Friday night with a big citywide concert. It goes into a festival on Saturday. How many of you have ever been to Calhoun? How many of you would nicely say Calhoun's a little bit different? Amen. Calhoun's just different. I didn't say bad. It's just different. Calhoun's never had very large events before. They're not used to us. Our first year was there. They've never done an event that brings 15, 16, 17,000 people downtown. We put on a large concert. We brought in the Guardians of the Jukebox. Downtown, it was the first time they'd ever had something like that. And there was probably 5,000 to 6,000 people downtown. People sang songs. They had a great time. There was zero issues. I watched children dance for 2 hours. I watched people smile for hours. And I show up on Saturday to begin to set up the festival portion. And a guy comes up to me and he pulls me off to the side. And he asks, am I Gary Lamb? And I said, I am. And about that quick, his finger was in my chest. And he said, can I ask you a question? I said, you can ask me whatever you want. He said, do you think God was pleased with you last night? I thought he was going to say, man, it was a great event. I think God was really pleased because, you know, I'm a positive guy, not really. And I said, pardon me? He said, you turned our city into Sodom and Gomorrah last night. I said, like literally probably the most positive band I've ever been around. And I was like, really? He goes, children were scared for their lives last night. And I'm like, wow, I saw kids on their parents' shoulders and kids playing air guitar, and I saw Rich Ward after the concert hanging around for about 30 minutes and taking pictures with kids. And I mean, it was just a fun concert. And I said, oh, I said, and my first instinct was to start to argue with this gentleman. But I'm in the middle of setting up a festival. And literally as the words started to come out of my mouth, those two words came into my head, let them. And I said, man, I'm sorry you feel that way. He said, it was debauchery. I didn't really know what that word meant, so I had to like put it back to like look it up later. And I do feel like God was trying to say, you're going to live out the sermon, because, man, I was just trying to let him. But people like that, they don't want you to let them. They want argument. I said, man, I'm sorry you felt that way. I had a great time. My wife had to leave for fear of being mugged in downtown Calhoun with white Suburbans. Not that they wouldn't mug somebody. That sounded really worse than I meant it to sound. Everybody probably 50 and above. And I was like, man, it's a really dangerous crowd. And I went to say something, and I remember just, I was like, let them. And I tried to walk away, and he grabbed me by my arm. Not in a forceful way, but just to let me know he wasn't done. And he said, I assume you're going to have prostitutes here next year. And I felt the sweat beating up on my head. And I was like, let them. And then the real kicker came. I Googled you last night.
Oh, wonderful.
I don't find it shocking you would put on a festival like this. And I said, man, I just do what the city wants me to do. You water yourself down. And he goes, I saw two women holding hands last night. I was like, oh, like, is that not happening in Calhoun? You really do not want to come to Action Church on Sunday. And I said, man, I'm sorry to hear that. I have to get back to work. He said, I'll be calling the mayor. And I said, well, the mayor was here last night on Facebook Live almost all night filming the video as he was dancing. I'm sure he'll appreciate it. And that was a mistake, because once it starts coming, it just doesn't stop. But you'd be proud of me. It must be because I turned 52 weeks ago. I stopped myself, reminded myself to let them. And I said, man, you have a great day. His response was, I won't. And I walked away. But here's the point. There's nothing I can do to convince that guy that he might be a little extreme. There's nothing I can do to change his perception of what happened the night before. So I could have allowed that guy to ruin my entire day. I could have allowed that guy to get in my head instead of the other 6,000 people who had a great time. I could have begun to question some of the things that happened the night before and think, man, are families having fun and kids dancing? Is that wrong? I don't know. I felt like I was on the set of Footloose. And or I can let them. Because at the end of the day, when people simply want to argue or they already have thoughts, you're not going to change their opinions. You're not going to change their reactions. You're not going to change their decisions. But you can control how you live. You can control how you respond. At some point in life, you have to realize the arguments have to stop because they're a waste of time. At some point, the comment section has to stop being engaged. At some point, the debate is no longer the most powerful tool that you have. The most powerful thing you can do is just let them see you live differently. The only thing we can control is how we live our life, how we respond, how we handle ourselves. Not louder, not more aggressive, just simply in a way that is different. Because a different life is undeniable. Amen. It cannot be ignored. You can argue with words, you cannot argue with transformation. They can argue as you speak. They cannot argue with how you live your life. So I want to close out this series with let them see a difference. Amen. Instead of letting them misunderstand, instead of letting them criticize, instead of letting them walk away like we've talked about the last couple of weeks, this puts the emphasis back on us and how we respond. Let them see a difference. Before we get to our text today, I want to give you a little bit of context first. Before we read this, you have to understand where we're at in the scripture. We're in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. He's not talking to casual observers here. He's talking to his followers, those who have committed their lives to him. And he starts by redefining to them what it means to live a blessed life. He begins to tell them that a blessed life is actually the opposite of what the world considers success. It's actually the opposite of what the world considers being blessed. He talks about being poor in spirit. He talks about mourning. He talks about being meek. He talks about having a hunger inside of us for righteousness. He talks about us as believers showing mercy, even when the guy's an idiot from Calhoun who's trying to... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. He talks about living pure, and he talks about making peace. It's a powerful portion of Scripture. Then he takes it even further, as he always does, and he says, if you actually live this way, if you actually live in a way that honors me, you need to understand that people are going to push back on you.
Oh, that's right.
They're going to misunderstand you. They're going to criticize you. They're going to come out against you. Following Jesus is not just different, it is visibly different.
Yeah.
And that difference, believe it or not, will create a tension among those not living that way. When you truly understand grace and you're living in grace, the religious of the day will not understand that. Those that you think would be excited about a move of God will criticize a move of God. I watched, this is my second year in Calhoun, outside of that guy, Calhoun's the only place that I do a festival, and man, I admire their zeal. Let me say that. But on the corner of the festival grounds for 8 hours, every time I do an event there, street preachers show up. And for 8 straight hours, they tell us what whores we are, whoremongers we are, reprobates we are. And they just scream and holler for 8 hours. Because I get an enjoyment out of that. About every 30 minutes, I make sure I walk past them. Not even in a sarcastic way, in a fun way. Like, I admire their zeal. And in 8 hours, I never see one person stop to listen to what they have to say. Not one person changes their life because of this approach. Matter of fact, the opposite happens. People are turned off to God by how they act. I decided last year that I would engage them for not in a confrontational way. When they stopped, I put them on the side. I said, man, I admire you guys. I said, I actually pastor a church. And I told them about the church. And they didn't know anything about the church, but they assumed they knew about the church. And I was about 15 minutes into realizing, why am I arguing with these people about how we do church? Instead of people coming to know Christ, and that was actually when our event there last year was about 2 weeks after we had baptized about 40-something people. And I was like, man, we just had a bunch of people go public with their faith. They got baptized, and thinking, man, there will be a connection there. And that turned into them criticizing, were they this and were they. And I was just like, man, hey, God bless you guys, and walk away. Let them. But the point is, when you try to live in a way that this book says to live, it will create a tension. It will create a tension with the believing world, and it will create a tension with the unbelieving world. They'll criticize in different ways, but we have to stay true to what God has called us to do, because ultimately the Bible says as much as it depends on ourselves, we live at peace with all people. There's action in how we respond. The Bible says we will give an account of ourselves. We're responsible for us.
Right.
We're not responsible for how other people are. We're not responsible for what other people think. We're not responsible for what they say about us or what they gossip about us or whatever it is. We're responsible for how we carry ourselves. And if we're going to let them think what they want to think, then we have to at least decide we're going to live the life that Christ has called us to live, and we're going to let them see a difference. The problem is they look to the unbelieving, look to the believing world, and they don't see any different. Or they see some kind of man-made different that they can't connect with. So Jesus is here in Matthew chapter 5, and he's laying all this out. And then he gets to verse 14, and this is what he says. He says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it out on its stand, and it..." Listen, I tried not to. I'm sorry, you're going to have to bear with me. I can't read. I got these readers out, you know. Listen. Oh. "Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." And then he says, in the same way, meaning what I just showed you what a light does, "in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." He says, let them see your light. Not where you get credit, not where you get glory, not where you're elevated. Let them see your light so they will see the works of your Father, where they will see what he has done in your life. It doesn't say go stand on the street corner and condemn them to hell. It says live in a way that people see a difference in you. They don't see perfection in you. They don't see religion in you. They don't see rules in you. They just simply see a difference. It doesn't mean that you don't go through marriage problems, but they see a difference. It doesn't mean you don't go through bad decisions. They just see a difference. It doesn't mean you don't have hurts. They just see a difference. It doesn't mean you don't have habits. They just see a difference. It doesn't mean you don't have hang-ups. They just see a difference. They're walking and looking at you, and they're watching you walk through the same things they go through, the same struggles they go through, but you handle it different because there's something different about you, and his name is Jesus. Let them see a difference. When they talk about Action Church, I want them to see a difference. They might not understand Action Church. They might criticize Action Church. I made a post this last week. I think it was on Thursday. We got to set the church up early, and I made a post. Man, the chairs are all set up, and we're excited for you to be here Sunday. I put it on the Action Church page, the first comment. And there'll be heroin needles in every seat for every junkie. Someone's like, why don't you delete that comment? I said, why? Let them. Bubba stole all the needles for y'all got here. They were out. I need you to understand something today. The first thing I need you to understand is your life is meant to be noticeable. Your life is meant to be noticeable. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus does not say try to be light. He does not say work your way into becoming light. He says you are light. I need you to understand something today. The moment you follow Jesus, I said the moment you follow Jesus, something changes in you. You don't have to go to some new believers class. You don't have to come get indoctrinated. You don't have to go read something to understand what you did. The moment you enter into faith in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, you become a new creation. Something changes in you. You might not have all the answers. You might not understand it all, but something different happens inside of you. You now carry something different, and that something different is light. Light does not try to be seen. Light simply shows up. That's right. And everything around it changes. Right. The Bible says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. We have friends that go to this church and they live on the hill up there, the ridge. Those type people. The ridge people. But you know the funny thing about the ridge people? Every time I leave my house without even thinking about it, I glance up on the ridge to see if I can see them. When they put Christmas lights on their house, I saw them. Christine and I go for a walk. She's like, oh, look, there's the hill people. They couldn't hide it if they want to. The problem is it's David and Sarah, and you never know what they'll be up to, so sometimes it worries me to look up on the hill. I don't know what's going to be happening on that deck as I'm driving through town. Amen. But you cannot hide. The point is, it's on the ridge. They gave up privacy for a view. It could, they couldn't hide it if they wanted to. Christine and I went up there one night. Christine's drinking. David's drinking. Sierra's drinking. I was reading my Bible. And we're watching the sunset. I go into Barrel House the next day. Someone says, "Saw you up at the Westrix last night." I said, "What?" "Well, y'all were sitting right there on the fence line." I said, "That's kind of creepy." He goes, "I wasn't trying to be creepy. I was just driving through town." I looked up, and there you were. Point is, you couldn't hide it if you wanted to. That's the way we are to be. It ought to be noticeable in our faith. It doesn't matter if it wants attention or not. It doesn't matter if you're trying to stay low key. As Christ followers in our faith, listen, there ought to be something noticeable about us. If it's on a hill, people see it. Let me educate some of you for a moment. Following Jesus was never meant to be a private thing. It was meant to be a visible thing. I don't discuss my beliefs. Why? The Bible says we're to be noticeable. I'm not talking about we got to stand on the street corner with the megaphone and throw it down people's throats. I'm not talking about we got to say it and spray it everywhere we go. But my faith is not private. People tell me all the time, "You're way too open on social media about wins and losses and struggles and this." I'm not hiding what God does in my life. I refuse. I'm not getting more excited about who the Falcons drafted this week than I am Jesus. I'm not getting more excited about the Georgia Bulldogs than I am Jesus. I'm not getting more excited about hunting season than I am Jesus. I'm not getting more excited about going and playing golf than I am Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Let me make that clear. But we'll brag about everything and anything except Jesus. We're worried what people will think about us. Philippians 2 says this, "So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." Man, notice the contrast. There's the warped and crooked generation, and then there's shining people. Have you ever just had somebody, when they walk in the room, the whole room lights up? Kind of like I had that effect for some of you guys. Like when I walk in, it's instant. I had the opposite effect of that. My wife says, when we moved in the gym, she said, everybody shows up to the gym, and they're setting up the gym, and there's music playing, and everyone's excited about what God's going to do that morning, and you come in and you suck the excitement out of the room, because instead of telling them hello, instead of thanking them for being here, you start complaining that this curtain's crooked and that's crooked and why isn't this right? And she just, "Do not show up to this building until after 8 o'clock anymore." I reminded her, "I'm the pastor of this church and I'll do what I want to do. And I do not show up here till after 8 o'clock anymore." Listen. She said, "They're volunteers and you come in like a bat out of hell and then everyone gets tense." There's times I want to be like those hardcore Baptists that don't let the women talk. You know what I mean? The darker the backdrop, the brighter the light. The darker it gets, it's been an issue in here. We're trying to figure out how to light this stage. We've never lit a stage in a place that has windows and sun shining through. And it's been a struggle because it's harder to light up an already lit room. But the darker it gets, the easier it is to light something up. We live in a dark world. We live in a world that's contrary to the word of God. But the problem is the church has done a bad job of pointing people to Jesus. We've pointed people to rules. We've turned people away from Jesus instead of saying, man, let us be a light and show you what Jesus is. You notice the flashlight a lot more at midnight than you do noon. You don't notice light in a well-lit room. You notice it when the power goes off. We're to be light. The darker the world becomes, the brighter we're to shine. We don't shrink from culture. We don't shrink from society. They look at us and we let them see a difference. We live in a day and time where confusion is up, anxiety is up, division is up. Man, your life is meant to be noticeable. Your life should stand out in a world that's lost.
That's right.
They might not agree with everything that we agree with. They might not believe everything we believe. But when they look at us, they will say, man, there's something different about those people.
Amen.
When I was at my lowest, they were there for me.
That's right.
When I had nobody, they came alongside of me and they walked with me.
Amen.
When my world was falling apart, they handled me in a way that let me know I'd get through it.
That's right.
The world's looking for something like that. They're not looking for something to indoctrinate people into the local church. We're not building up the church. We're pointing people to Jesus.
Amen.
This is just the avenue that we get to use. Your life ought to be noticeable. It's meant to be noticeable. Your faith is not meant to be hidden. Look at verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that gives light to all are in the house. Nobody lights a lamp and then covers up the lamp. Nobody lights a lamp up for it not to bring light. That'd be stupid. The whole purpose of lighting is to be seen.
Amen.
Sometimes we as Christians, and oh, trust me, I get this one. We hide our faith because of the attention that it brings. When I meet new people, whether I'm doing events or I meet people in town and I start talking to them, and it's always, how you doing? How long you lived here? You just connect with people. And then the question always comes, man, what do you do for a living? And immediately I'm always like, man, I put on festivals for a living. Oh, do you? Right, man. I put on festivals in Ball Ground, Calhoun, Carson, and I talk about that. And then somewhere along the way, normally about the second or third time I meet them, the pieces of the puzzle come together for them. Are you the pastor over at Action Church?
I am.
The church that meets over in the gym?
Yeah.
And that can go either way.
Yeah.
That can be good or bad. And it's not that I'm ashamed of being the pastor here. It's the highlight of my life. I love this place. I'm just so embarrassed with what we call Christianity today. And I'm so embarrassed with how Christians act today that I just don't want to be lumped in with them so many times. I want to point people to God, not away from them. And I get that. So I understand why we try to sometimes keep that on the down low. We don't want to be labeled. We don't want to be misunderstood. We don't want to deal with the criticism of it. So what we do, and when the pendulum swings the other way, and we simply stay quiet. But light's no good if it's not around darkness.
That's right.
We're not meant to hide ourselves. We keep our faith personal. We keep it private. But Jesus never called us to blend in. He called us to stand out. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." I don't think there's a person here today who would say we're ashamed of the gospel. But we live in a way that seems to come across like we're ashamed of the gospel. We're not bold in our faith. We're not bold in our walk. We're not willing to stand on this book. And I think that's the key. We need to learn to stand on this book, not denominationalism, not traditions, not what the modern church says. We need to stand on this book. This book's worth fighting for. The truths in this book will change your life. Man. Luke 9:26 says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. Those are strong words. I need you to understand something. When I say we need to not be ashamed of the gospel and we need to be bold, I'm not saying we need to be obnoxious. I'm saying we don't need to be silent. And sometimes we don't even have to say something. We simply need to live it. How do they, my pet peeve is Christian companies. I'm a Christian plumber. Well, I don't care what you are, can you get my commode unstopped? Well, we don't need more Christian companies. We need more companies run by Christians. I've given this illustration before. One of my good friends is Spencer Nix. Spencer owns Reformation Brewery. All of you know that. They sponsor all my events. What most of you might not know is before Spencer started Reformation Brewery, he was a pastor. We always laughed that in Cherokee County, one pastor puts on beer festivals and another pastor who used to pastor opened up a brewery. And people say all the time, they say, man, you might not go to Gary's church, but Gary's he's the people's pastor.
That's right.
And I've always said, I'm not the people's pastor. Spencer Nix is the people's pastor. If you go to Spencer's page, you will never hear him sharing Bible verses. You'll never see him shoving God. He doesn't even hardly talk about it at all.
That's right.
Reformation, nowhere in their thing other than if you knew what the word Reformation meant, you knew the history of why they called it that, you would know nothing about that being a company that's a Christian company. But if you ever did business with them, you would say they operate with Christian values.
That's right.
They handle themselves with integrity. They handle themselves in a way that pleases Christ. They're generous in their actions. If they say they're going to do something, you might not like what they have to say, but they're going to follow through and do it. I've watched people in the business world over and over go to Spencer in their times of need. Why? Because he's carrying himself in a way that's not ashamed of the gospel. He's not obnoxious about it, but he lives a life when they look at him, they see a difference.
That's right.
They don't see a perfect person, but they see a person who lives by the values of the Bible. It's funny that we'll be bold about everything. We'll be bold about our opinions. We'll be bold about politics. Not this crowd, of course. We'll be bold about lifestyles. We'll even be bold about our beliefs about certain things.
That's right.
But silent about Christ. Here we are as believers. We have the only message that brings life, and we whisper it. Or worse, we live in a way that no one even knows we follow Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
I've always said this. You go to Vegas, and they have nothing to say, but they say it everywhere. 200-foot LED screens on the side of buildings with their message. Everywhere you go, there's an advertisement. We as the church have everything to say, and we don't know how to say it. The unbelieving world has nothing to say, and they throw it in your face. I've shared this story a couple of times now because I get OCD in my head and I obsess over things because it happened 3 weeks ago, so I think this is the third week in a row that I've said it. A local business owner came to me frustrated about Action Church. I'm friends with this local business owner. They said, it just feel like when I pull into downtown Ball Ground on Sunday mornings, it looks like Action Church threw up all over the city. To which I responded, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because here's the deal. I refuse to allow a business to say their message more than the message of Jesus. I refuse for the government to say their message more than the message of Jesus. I believe in the vision of this church, love God, love people, take action. I believe this is a place where people can meet Jesus and we're going to get the word out. I actually had to repent of that for a while because I promote for a living. That's what I do for a living. My wife said she married the redneck P.T. Barnum, and so I promote events all the time. And so for the longest time, I probably did a disservice to this church because I refused to even talk about it. It's like, I'm not going to promote the church. That's what I do for a living. Man, that's bullshit. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know any other word to say. Like, what a cop-out on my part. If I ought to be promoting anything, it ought to be something that points people to Jesus. So you haven't seen anything. I think in the next 2 weeks, two billboards go up around town. Then I'm going to put two more billboards up around town. And then I'm going to put two more billboards up around town. And then there's going to be signs all over town. Because here's the deal. People need to know there's a place they can come to, regardless of their social standing, their sexual preference, their skin color, whatever it is, and to know that God loves them, we love them, and there's nothing they can do about it. We'll not apologize for that. We will not back up from that. I'm not going to allow Glenda Mitchell to outshine Action Church. Light loses its purpose when it's hidden. I need you to understand this. Your life should point people to God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Check this out. See your good works. And glorify your Father. Not see your good works and praise you. Not see your works and give you the attention. Not see your good works and praise you. And man, we ought to pat each other on the back and we ought to build each other up. But we do good works so it points people to Jesus. The Bible says when the Son of Man is lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. People don't just need to see the gospel, need to hear the gospel. They need to see the gospel.
That's right.
Let your light shine so before men, so when they see your good works, they need to see how you handle pressure. They need to see how you treat people. They need to see how you respond when life gets hard. They need to see how you forgive when you have every right to lock in. They need to see how steady you are when everything around you is shaking.
That's right.
The world may reject your preaching. The world may reject your words. They cannot ignore your life. One of the things I always feel the most proud of when it comes to this church is when someone is coming after us. I don't feel proud about that. That seems to be really reoccurring lately. The last 12 years. And but someone will go in the comments and they're like, visited that church, not the church for me, but you cannot deny what they do in this community. Amen. I love that. That makes me proud. Listen, I want as many people in this church as God wants to send to people in this church, but our goal is not to build some huge church. If they come, they come. If they don't, they don't. But our goal is to make it hard to get to hell from Cherokee County. We chose the name Action Church because we want to live that out. It wasn't because we thought it sounded cool. I wanted you to see our name and know exactly what we do. We're about to step up here. We're about to get to the end of the school year. You'd be shocked how many kids will go without a hot meal or healthy food once school's out. We learned early on when we moved to Ball Ground, we can't collect food for one pantry. They can't take it all. So I'm going to put a list of pantries together. And over the next couple of weeks, leading up to the end of school, I want us to load up every pantry around here. No kid should go hungry if we're in town. Nobody should do without. That's the church's job. The problem is the church has allowed government to do so much stuff they should have been doing to begin with. Someone's, when are we going to get a building? I sent me this building the other day. We're not getting a building right now. Well, I don't know that we'll ever get a building again. You know why? Because I will never be building poor again. I'll never have to look at someone and say, we can't meet your needs because we got to pay rent on this building. Not going to do it. I'm already talking with the county. We rent this building from the county. The county now knows. I didn't realize Parks and Rec does so much community stuff. I said, from now on, anything you need, you let us know. I'll make sure. You don't even got to post it on social media. We'll make sure you have more than you need. I haven't even told Melissa this. Melissa, you're about to find this out. I've already been talking to the county about, can we use this building once a month for Bethesda Community Clinic to set up in the parking lot here? They don't even flinch. Of course we can. But that's why we exist. I told you when we lost our building in Canton, the needs would change. The needs in Ball Ground are different than the needs when we were in the poorest part of Canton. There's no need for a warming shelter in Ball Ground, Georgia. There was a need when we were in Canton. The needs will change, but the mission will not change. 1 Peter 2:12 says, Live such good lives among the pagans. Amen. That the unbelieving people, the pagans, the heathens, the whoremongers, or whatever the street preacher called them the other day, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Who glorify God? The pagans. The unbelieving people live in such a way that they look and say, man, that must be God. There's no way that island of misfit toys was able to do that. That's God. Your life becomes the evidence. John, and it is amazing how these things work. By John 13:35 says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Not if you debate with them on Facebook. They won't know you're my disciples because you voted red. But how you love people. You love people. Not by your church attendance. I'm glad you come to church. Not by your Facebook posts. Not by your arguments. Not by how much money you give. Thank you for being faithful in that area. It helps us keep the lights on. But by your love. Amen. You can argue theology all day long. You can win debates all day long. But when someone sees you walk through life with just peace, when they see you forgive someone who has hurt you, when they see you stay faithful when it'd been easier to quit, right. Amen. That does something to them. Amen. And when they can't explain it, they start talking about it. Right. And when they start talking about it, somebody's going to come along and say, you're missing the point. That happens because of Jesus. Right. The most powerful witness we can have is a transformed life. So let them doubt, and you still believe. Let them criticize, and you keep building. Let them misunderstand, and you stay faithful. Let them walk away, and you stay committed. And eventually, let them do those things, and let them see a difference. Amen. Gary, how do we do that in our life? Let me give you some practical things. Real quick. Show peace when others show panic. Show peace when others show panic. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When everything is chaotic and everyone's in panic mode, you stay steady. Show kindness when others are harsh. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Show kindness when the world's beating them up. You just show kindness. Show integrity when others compromise.
Yeah. Amen.
Show integrity when others compromise. Proverbs 10:9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Yeah. Show love when others divide. You want to know the number one thing we can do as a church that will set us apart from all the other churches? Is we can show love when they're dividing. Because the church is the most divided place around. I don't care if it's traditional, modern, white, black, rich, poor, like all these late, like the church is the most segregated place in the world. Can't even get along with each other. They're fighting with each other. But he called me the other day and he said, man, all the pastors were at the coffee shop the other day talking about you. And they're all my friends. They weren't talking about me in a bad way. Well, some of them were. And I said, what are they talking about? Oh, they were talking about your Easter ad. He said, I was eavesdropping. He goes, it was funny. Some of them were justifying it. Some of them were saying this. Some were saying that. And I love discussion. I don't expect everyone to agree with me, so let me make that clear. Half the stuff I do here, David doesn't agree with. That's why I always go ask Sierra and my wife. But here's what bothered me. Is they were doing it in a public place. I mean, we all talk. It didn't bother me. That was a controversial thing. It didn't bother me. But what bothered me was people overhearing it. And it didn't bother me that people overheard someone talking negatively about us. It bothered me that they heard it and thought to themselves, there's a church fighting among themselves again. They can't even get along with themselves. Love cuts through the noise. Love makes people pay attention. You cannot control the world. You cannot control culture. You cannot control what people say about you. You cannot control what people believe about Jesus. But you can control your witness.
That's right.
And if you do it long enough, and you live a life that is different, people will notice. You'll start asking questions. I'm in the middle of a festival yesterday. My phone rings, and it was a guy that I know, local business guy. Christine and I have known them loosely for our whole marriage. They're the type of people that when I'm at a festival and I see them, we stop and talk for 10 minutes. Never been to dinner with them, never hung out with them. He's had some business ideas, and I've helped him walk through some of them, but never any type of anything other than an associate. Wouldn't even call him a friend. Call him an associate. And I thought it was weird that he called me, especially on a Saturday morning. And he knows, he kind of keeps up with me. He's kind of done some small events, so he keeps up that I do a business. He knows I'm in the middle of a festival. So I send him a voicemail, and he calls back. So I answer the phone. He said, hey, man, what's going on? I said, man, I'm right in the middle of a festival. I know, man. I'm sorry. He said, man, I'm going through some things. And he said, is there any way you can make time to meet with me? And I said, I can't right now. I said, but message me Monday and I'll drop everything and we'll figure it out. So he said, I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying when you live your life enough, he said, I don't know where else to go and you'll tell me the truth without judging me.
Right.
And I just need somebody to talk to.
Amen.
You know why he felt comfortable enough to call me? Because he's told me before, man, I don't like some of the stuff you do. He's seen me live out what I say for 10 years, however long he's been in my life now. I say this all the time. I've always said that every church in this county should support this church as a missionary church. Because I counsel more of their people than they do. Because their people don't feel comfortable enough to go to their pastor for judgment. They come to us. It's never good phone calls. Can you meet? What marriage is falling apart today? What'd you relapse on today? What are you struggling with today? This might not be the church for them on Sunday, but this is the group for them when everything's falling apart. Because we've let them see a difference.
Amen.
We've not compromised what we've stood on since the day we started. And we've stood on loving God, loving people, and taking action. So as we close out this series, I hope you embrace those two words. Let them. And I hope it changes your life.